Bible reading for you. So it's from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through to 43. There was some confusion about the chapter number, actually. So fortunately, I'm not talking to you about the beheading of John the Baptist, but a more amazing story, actually. So it's titled, A Dead Girl and a Sick Woman. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him. While he was by the lake, one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there that had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she'd been freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone from him, and he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around him to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Last week was Easter weekend, and we remembered the death and resurrection of Jesus. We remembered how he died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, so that they could be buried with him in the grave. And through his resurrection, we too can have new life in Jesus. And we had a great celebration here last Sunday remembering that. So I wondered what we should look at this week. And I thought it would be good to look at the question, what is the message of Easter going forward? And I want us to look at an account of an episode in Jesus' life that I think can answer that question. It's an account that in some ways reflects the events of Easter, but shows what Easter can mean for each person. In the story of Easter, there is life and death, the spilling of blood and resurrection to new life. And in the account that John read to us from Mark just now, we hear of a father whose daughter's life is ebbing away, a woman who's losing her life's blood, a death and a rising. But having said that, I don't want to push that comparison any further this morning. Instead, I want to look at the characters and their interaction with Jesus. Now, if you remember the sort of exercises you used to get given at school, you used to be given something and it used to say compare and contrast. And this story is a bit like one of those compare and contrast exercises, but with a unified ending that points us back to Easter, as we shall see. It begins with Jairus, a ruler or elder in the synagogue in Capernaum. The synagogue was ruled by a board of elders, and Jairus was one of them. So in that position, he would have had a privileged and honoured place in Jewish society. And Capernaum, we're told, is Jesus' own city. And Jairus would surely have known of Jesus, as Jesus too was a rabbi and teacher. He spoke in the synagogue from time to time. Jesus had performed miracles in Capernaum, and Jairus may have seen them. But now he was one in great need. His daughter, his only child, was very ill. She was dying. And Jairus turns to Jesus as the only one who might be able to do something about it. He was beyond what doctors could do, beyond what Jairus himself and his wife could do. But Jesus might be able to do something about it. Now Jairus, this man high up in society, comes and falls at Jesus' feet and earnestly implores Jesus, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her that so she will be healed and live." Jairus believes Jesus can do something for his daughter. And on hearing this and from Jairus in front of him, Jesus turns and goes with him towards his house. But Jesus was not on his own. There was a large crowd with him, wanting to hear him or see what he would do next. And progress towards Jairus' house was rather slow. And this is where we meet the second person who comes to Jesus. Except that rather than come straight to Jesus, she wants to come secretly, to come and not be noticed. It's a woman who has had a discharge of blood for 12 years that has left her in a very poor state. It's interesting to note in passing that Jairus' daughter was 12 years old and this woman's condition had gone on for 12 years. Physically, she was probably chronically anemic through her continual loss of blood. That would have made her feel constantly tired and weak, unable to live at a normal pace of life. And then her condition had left her financially very poor because she'd spent her money on doctors to try and find a cure. It makes you really glad that we live in the United Kingdom in the 21st century when we can get free medical help. Goodness knows what they did to try and cure her, apart from relieve her of her money, because we read that she had suffered a great deal under the care of these doctors, and all to no avail. Her debilitating condition still went on and was getting worse. And then, in addition to being physically poor and financially poor, she would also have been on the fringes of society. For in the Jewish society of her day, with a bleed like that, she would have been classed as unclean. not able to engage in social life or fully take part in daily life of the society of her day. Maybe she was even ostracized by others for being persistently in her unclean condition. And all through no fault of her own, and unable to do anything about it. If Jairus was at the top end of society in the town, this poor woman was at the bottom. But she had heard reports of Jesus and believed that he might be able to do something for her. So not wanting to make any fuss, and certainly not wanting to draw attention to herself, she thought, with all this crowd here, if I just push my way in towards Jesus and touch his clothes, that might help. I may be healed. And that's exactly what she did. She pushed her way through the crowd, made her way up to Jesus, and managed to touch his cloak. And immediately she was healed, fully, truly, completely healed, at once. And also at once, Jesus knew that power, healing power, had gone out from him. "Who touched my clothes?" said Jesus, as he looked around. Well, what a question. There were loads of people around Jesus, and they would be pushing and jostling to try and get in close to hear what he was saying. But Jesus kept looking round to see who had deliberately touched him. And the woman, realizing that she could not keep her actions secret any longer, came and fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. Now that was not easy for her to do. Women don't speak out in public, and especially about such matters as her problem. And what would Jesus' reaction be? She may have feared a reprimand from him. But that was not what Jesus was about. Far from being cross or offended by her, Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Jesus spoke the word peace to her. The Greek is the word eirene, which means to be at one, to be complete, to be whole. And it corresponds with the Hebrew word shalom, meaning wholeness. This was the Lord turning his face toward her and giving her his peace. His peace, the smile of God upon her. And in Jesus, she was completely restored. Well, with all of that, progress towards Jairus' house was rather slow. And then someone comes up and says to Jairus, rather bluntly, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead." What a blow to Jairus that was. He came to Jesus saying, "Please come and put your hand upon her so she may be healed and live." But now he hears that she's already dead. Now Jesus doesn't respond to that messenger at all. Instead, he just turns to Jairus and says, "Don't be afraid, just believe. Have hope." Jesus then forbids the crowd from following him, and pressing on to Jairus' house, perhaps a bit faster, he takes Peter, James and John, and together with himself and Jairus, they move forward to go up to his house. And then when they arrive at Jairus' house, they find many mourners outside the house, making a heck of a racket, wailing and lamenting. You see that sometimes when you see news stories of tragedies in the Middle East. You see the people wailing and shouting. And this is exactly what was going on outside Jairus' house. And Jairus says to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child's not dead, but is asleep." And they laughed at him. They didn't believe him. But Jesus put them all out of the house, and together with Jairus and his wife and the three disciples, he went into the girl and took her by the hand and said, "Talitha koum," which means literally, "My child, get up." Just as her mum might have said to her each morning. And immediately she stood up and began to walk around, fully alive and restored to normality. Quite naturally, those in the room were completely astonished. And then, very practically, Jesus told them to get her something to eat. If she'd been sick for a while, she probably hadn't eaten for some time and would now be rather hungry. Jesus cares for her and looks after her. So, what do these two events taken together say to us? I think they say this. When you encounter Jesus with faith, it will change your life and you will never be the same again. The woman was healed. Her faith was vindicated. It was not in vain. She could rejoin society. She could keep her money and spend it on other things than quackery. The doctors who could not cure her and who, we're told, led to her having a great deal of suffering. Jesus completely changed her life. Imagine what she told her friends after that. Jairus and his wife were about to lose their only child, their beloved daughter. They could do nothing. But Jairus looked to Jesus, believing that he could do something to help. And then came the news that, in fact, she'd already died. What a blow. But Jesus, ignoring the messenger with the bad news, encouraged Jairus to keep on believing, to keep hoping and not to fear the worst. At that point, there was no immediate help, no resolution to his problem, no certainty. But Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, keep believing." Just imagine what was going on in Jairus' mind at that moment. What would go through your mind in such a situation? They said she was dead. There's no hope now. Surely this is even beyond what Jesus can do. But Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Which thing do I believe? The fact of death or the encouragement of Jesus? And mixed in with that, I'm sure there was some of, if only that woman had not slowed Jesus down, we might have got back to the house in time. Maybe even she was a worthless salt anyway. It's so easy to think such things when life is not going right all the way we want it to. But Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, just believe." For how long? The longer, the harder. But do not be afraid, just believe. And go on doing that for as long as it takes. In this case, the time it took to get back to the house. But Jairus couldn't be sure of that at the time. And then, when Jesus did raise his daughter from the dead, his faith too was vindicated and proven to be worthwhile. For him, for his wife and his daughter, family life was fully restored. But I'm sure of this, that day, that encounter with Jesus changed their life forever. Can you imagine what Jairus would be saying in the synagogue the following Sabbath? And that is what an encounter with Jesus, trusting him to help you, does. It changes your life forever. Life is never the same again. For in that first encounter, you begin a journey that never ends. And we see in this account that it doesn't matter who you are, Jesus will be for you. He will accept you. He will give his peace to you. And he will change you for the better. You can be at the very bottom, at the scrag end of society, poor, defeated, almost without hope. Or you can be well thought of, well to do, in a position of authority and privilege, or anywhere in between those two. And an encounter with Jesus will change you forever. And this is where the link with Easter comes. Jesus, when he walked this earth, met with individuals like Jairus, like this woman, like his disciples and many others, and he changed their lives. And in his death on the cross and his resurrection, we see the following. Death is not the end. Jesus is still alive. And by his Spirit, which God sent into the world, not just one small land, but at Pentecost sent it out into the world, we can still, wherever we are, meet with Jesus. And lives can still be changed, and changed very much for the better by Jesus. I met Jesus when I was 15. And I've been thinking in preparing for today, what a huge difference he has made in my life. What sort of life would I have led without him journeying with me? What hope would I have? What sort of person would I be? But I'm very glad to say that I did meet Jesus, and he has changed me and is changing me. I'm a work in progress, but I have peace and a purpose. And the invitation to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, of that poor woman and her touch of Jesus in faith, not just a literal touch, but a purposeful, faithful touch, or to go to Jesus believing that he can do something no one else can, as Jairus did, that invitation is open to everyone. The psalmist gives the invitation this way. He says, "Call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. You will be glad you did." And Paul in Romans 10 puts it this way. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it's by openly declaring your faith, as that woman did, that you are saved. And the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I finish by simply asking, have you encountered Jesus and believed that he can change your life for the better? You may be surprised as Jairus and his wife were when you do. And if you've not spoken to anyone to say that you would like to meet Jesus, or that you have met him, or that you want to hear more, then I would encourage you to do so. To do so today, while it's still on your mind. Jesus sought out that woman who touched him secretly and wanted her to come forward so he could openly give her his blessing and others would see it. I'm happy to talk with anyone. And there will also be someone over in the corner of the church here this morning willing to chat and pray with you after the service over on this side here. But Easter and its message really is good news. Jesus really does change lives.